You're listening to SBS News.
And at the same time, when COVID came, we had that payment, the government payment.
In a nondescript housing block in Sydney's inner city, Jonathan Armai is enjoying the morning sun. He's lived in this crisis accommodation for more than a year now. With little work due to COVID-19 lockdowns and restrictions and a family breakdown, he was unable to find an affordable place to live and was rendered homeless.
My job is in Blacktown, so I want to be as close to there as I can. And even from here to Blacktown, all the suburbs around are quite out of my price range. With child support and my own bills every week, it's quite hard getting by.
The New Zealand-born 31-year-old is fighting to get his life back on track for his two daughters, who were born in Australia.
I was going to go home ages ago if I didn't have my girls here. So they're the only reason why I'm still here in Australia and my job.
But with no government support, breaking the cycle of homelessness seems almost impossible, and he doesn't think that's fair.
I've been on Australia for 8-9 years now. I've been working ever since I'm here, been paying tax the whole time, and I don't see why we're paying tax if we're not eligible for any housing and all benefits. Like, I didn't come to Australia to jump on the benefit, but it'll be good to have that there, just to know in case something happens at my job. Because it's different if you guys go to New Zealand, you're eligible for everything. I don't see why we're different.
Mr. Armai is one of about 24 residents who've sought refuge at the Haymarket Foundation's crisis accommodation in Sydney. It houses several New Zealanders at one time, along with some other non-residents who often have nowhere else to go. This is its CEO, Gowan Vise.
Those residents have no access to income support or housing, so they end up staying here for a period of time because there actually is no housing pathway. And until the government can reinstate reciprocal arrangements, there is absolutely no hope for those residents.
Ms. Vise says the Haymarket Foundation is one of the few non-profit organisations that houses non-residents at all because it receives no government support for these clients. She wants to see this changed.
We aren't funded to support those clients, so we have to fundraise to meet our expenses. It costs about $80,000 a year to support a non-resident or a New Zealand citizen here. If there was a dedicated funding stream to support New Zealand citizens, we would be able to work with them to find housing and find a hope for the future.
New Zealanders who arrived in Australia to live before 2001 hold protected special category visas, meaning they have the same entitlements as Australian citizens. But those who arrived after that date do not. Under the current deal, New Zealand citizens still receive Medicare but cannot access unemployment benefits, sickness or disability payments and housing support. But if Australians go to New Zealand to live, they are able to access all of these things. Erin Longbottom from the Homeless Health Service at St Vincent's Hospital says this issue was brought to the forefront again during lockdowns. While rough sleepers with Australian citizenship were offered hotel accommodation by state and territory governments, non-residents were not given the same benefit. Ms Longbottom says it became glaringly obvious who was left on the streets.
So there is a really high number of New Zealand citizens sleeping rough in the inner city. About 30% of the non-resident rough sleeping population are New Zealand citizens. So they're really invisible and nobody's actually supporting them. So we need to do something about this.
Gaining Australian citizenship would be the obvious solution, but the pathway to getting it is complicated and costly. That's according to Lola Sheena. The New Zealander now works as a peer support worker for St Vincent's, but was homeless herself only 2 years ago.
There isn't really a pathway to get permanent residency or citizenship, which I find really, it's quite disheartening. I love living in Australia and I love the life that I've built here with the people here, but there isn't a sense of permanency, even if I was here until I died.
But there may be change on the horizon. In June this year, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and New Zealand's Jacinda Ardern met in Sydney to discuss a wide range of issues, including the treatment of New Zealanders in Australia. Ms Ardern told reporters the two had agreed to work on a more reciprocal relationship between the two neighbours, including an improved pathway to citizenship.
Ensuring there is a realistic and secure pathway to permanent residence and citizenship for those who need it in Australia as well. These are not new issues in the relationship, but this is a new government.
Kia ora tamariki maa. Ooh, someone's got some donuts.
For now, though, the everyday challenges of providing shelter and food lies solely with non-profit organisations. One Maori-led charity called Tautoko Whanau in Melbourne packs food twice a week for over 200 people. Its chair, John Wickham, says it's mostly for families in need.
So it's, you know, mum and dad with a few kids. We've got some families with a large number of kids. But it's just those that are struggling to make ends meet, you know. They might have one job between all the members in their family and in their household.
He welcomes any long-term solutions which would ease stress on these families, noting that despite hailing originally from New Zealand, many have settled here for decades and consider Australia home.
We did have a lot of people move back to New Zealand during the COVID times because they couldn't get that support. However, a lot of these families have been here for many, many years, and a lot of the kids are actually born here. And so it's not just as easy as people think just to pick up and head back across the ditch.
Amelia Dunn, SBS News.